Dave, it's really been a pleasure. I want to thank you. Really sorry that we went over time. And I'm sorry about, I'm not sorry. So it doesn't matter, Dave. We're listening to Dave Dynasties. This is extreme.
Beat me if you can survive if I let you.
Conquering nevermore.
Let the new era begin. The era of the ECW.
Oh my God.
This is extreme.
Greetings, ECW fans, and welcome to This Is Extreme, the ECW history podcast, where I talk to those that were involved in ECW, whether it be a wrestler, whether it be someone on camera, behind camera, fans, whatever it is, I will chat with them. I am your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining us for another episode. And this one's fun. And this one I think is unique because I think we have a guest on who, to my knowledge, has only done one other podcast appearance before this. And so I was excited to have him on, excited to chat with him. For those of you who watched the early days of Extreme Championship Wrestling, not long after it switched over to Extreme, you guys will remember my guest, and you'll remember the tagline, you'll remember everything about him, and we talk about it all. The guest today is Maddie in the House. I hope you guys remember him. He's a fun, fun guy, an early interviewer and hype man for ECW. Very, very energetic. Just, we talk about everything, so we'll talk about his friendship with Paul Heyman. We'll talk about how he came to ECW, what he did in ECW, what it was like when he left, everything else. So stay tuned for that. Before we get into that, please make sure you follow the podcast on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at ECW Pod. Now, I mentioned it last episode. My X account is locked up. I cannot get back into it. I've tried. I've reached out to X support. I'm having no luck whatsoever. So I don't know if or when I will regain access to the X account. So if that was your primary means to follow the me or the podcast, then please follow one of the other avenues, right? Facebook, Instagram, or Threads. Look us up there. Hopefully sometime I'll get the X account back, but I don't know. And if you do follow us, help spread the word on X that, hey, ECW Pod's not disappeared. They just have lost access to their account. Follow them on something else. They're still out there so that maybe some of the people that followed us and enjoyed our content on X can get the word and follow us on another platform. You can follow me personally on X, though, at The Dave Dynasty. That is now where I post all the ECW posts that I used to post exclusively on the ECW Pod X account. I just post them now on my Dave Dynasty one. So follow me at The Dave Dynasty. Along with the ECW stuff, you'll get all the other wrestling stuff I post as well. Hopefully you'll enjoy that also. But hopefully it'll be worth the follow if the ECW stuff is primarily what you're into. The best way that you can support this show, though, is to go buy our This Is Extreme shirt. It is at tinyurl.com/ECW pod shirt. It's a black shirt. This Is Extreme logo on it. Pretty basic, pretty cool, though. But show the world that you support the revolution, that you support ECW Pod, and the This Is Extreme podcast. If you buy a shirt, take a picture, post it out on social media, and tag me or tag ECW Pod if it's in one of those platforms that I still have access to. And let's see what your This Is Extreme shirt. That would be pretty cool. I'd appreciate that. So let's take a quick break then. And when we come back, I'll have that interview I spoke of with Maddie in the House. So stick around. Be sure to follow This Is Extreme on all social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for ECW Pod. Be sure to follow us, keep up to date, and join in the discussions. We want to hear your feedback, so find us on all the social media platforms and join the revolution. All right, welcome back to This Is Extreme. At this time, I'm being joined by a former ECW interview and, man, let's just say hype man, Maddie in the House. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing good. Man, Matt, you've been on my list to one interview. We've been trying to sit the, you know, get this down. We're both kind of busy guys. But man, you were a big part of early ECW, man. You were all over those shows.
Well, I had a unique perspective because I drove Paul from New York to Philly and the other places while he was writing down his, you know, his lines and all the rest of the stuff that he had to do. But it was amazing because it was a friendship, mm-hmm. and he didn't need me for much as far as wrestling is concerned, but, you know, we're both creative guys. We both, we enjoy what we do. Storylines are wonderful. We both kind of have our own. And Paul was never shy about saying he was the best in the business. He gave to a lot of people, but I've seen Paul, and Paul is 1,000% business. A little scary, but I totally get it now.
Yeah, man, I've heard, you hear all kinds of stories about Paul, and he's, you know, got his pluses and his minuses, but man, he's, when he sinks his heart into something, man, he dives full force. He gives it his entire life.
Yeah, and he told me probably 6 months to a year that he was going to be doing it. So he saw it, he waited, and he slowly started to do things. I mean, we would go see, I guess, wrestlers that we were going to put, that he was going to put into the shows, and he found them everywhere. Yeah. I mean, he'd be hiding under a rock if he he'd get them. So it was very interesting. And to tell you the truth, I don't know if I appreciate it as much as I do now. I probably didn't. I was surviving. So it was a great experience. I did have a bad back at the time. So I had to tell Paul, look, I can do this, but if I get hit, I'm going to be down there. You're going to be carrying me out. So everybody was great. Sherry Martel came over to me within a second of me walking in the door. And she was just lovely. And to tell you the truth, the locker room was great.
Yeah.
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 Nobody books with Paul.
That's right. So hey, did you, I'm guessing, did you meet Paul on the New York club scene?
I did.
Yeah. Tell us about that. How'd you meet Paul Heyman?
Well, Paul, with his time that he had setting up ECW, he left, but he was keeping an eye on everything. And we just became friends at China Club. And then we started hanging out together. He'd come to my events. He came, you know, he'd come to whatever he could. Nowadays, he's back in that ECW mode where somebody's probably carrying three phones with them. Mm-hmm. And Paul's telling him what to say. And if he picks up the phone, you're lucky.
Yeah, he's always that. He was managing some clubs and doing some different things.
No.
He wasn't. No.
Not that I know, but Paul's got a history that is pretty crazy, as do I. But look, Paul's vision never changed from the day I met him. But he was really a lot of fun. Now, you guys see him working his ass off.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun, and I hope he's having that much fun now. He said he's on top of the world.
So, well, how did it come up then for you to come over and do some stuff for ECW? Did he just see that you kind of had that gift of gab, that personality, and said, hey, man, we need to do something?
I can definitely talk. And I was acting a little bit here and there. So I had a background in what I was doing. But when I walked into ECW, I hadn't been warned at all. So I walked in there blind. And I don't know if anybody's ever walked in as blind as I have. Because he put me on Friday night, never forget it. There was like 2,000 kids and their parents. And when I came on stage, Paul says, or whoever says, and now for something really special. And I went up there and I did whatever I did. And I got the kids all excited. I came down. Everybody wanted autographs. I did that. It was wonderful. I went through that with baseball. So it would have freaked me out if it was my first time. And the next night, he put me at ECW Arena, and it was, could have been hell, but it was wonderful. So I had a guy that was 6'6". The minute I got up on stage in the ring and go, I'm going to kick your ass. And I was like, oh, boy, we're going to play right away? Okay. I said, You give me 20, 25 minutes. We'll see who's what the crowd thinks and who's actually get kicked. So I happen to be working in a couple clubs. One happened to be in Philly. It happened to be a gentleman's club. Mm-hmm. So I called them up and I said, can you get me 10, 12 girls down here in suits and Goldfinger's jackets? And they were like, Matt, anything you need. So we were backstage. I knew this guy was going to be an ass. So I go out there and he starts razzing me again. So I'm like, really? Let's the fans decide. And he comes, he starts his shit. And I go, ladies? And the ladies walk out. And all of a sudden, the crowd turned in about a second. And they were trying to, they were hitting this guy. He was running through chairs at the ECW arena. It was pretty funny. But thank God that it went over. Because if it didn't, I would have lost the entire crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, you brought up baseball. You had a baseball background, right? Did you play in high school and stuff? What? Tell me about that. You were a pretty good player, weren't you?
Yeah, I played everywhere until I got hurt. I went to John Brown High School. They won the championship, I believe, the year after and a couple years before. It was a baseball school. My father taught there. So I wanted to be a baseball player. That's basically what I was heading for. And I set out to go to Miami-Dade North, which was the number one or two community college. Mm-hmm. So if I made the team, it would be the jump I needed. Well, there were like 2,000 guys, and they had 200 people in gray T-shirts that said Falcons baseball. And those kids were all on scholarship, and only 29 kids make the team. And a couple years before, they had Bucky Dent and Mickey Rivers and, you know, all these stars. So after, I don't know, 4 months, I hadn't lost the game. They made me a relief pitcher instead of a starting pitcher. And they had something called the gong show. So if you didn't strike somebody out, or they didn't get an out, or if you didn't get a hit, you were gone. And that's the way they kind of did their cuts. But I didn't, and they kept me. And at the very end of the year, or the beginning of the year when I went home, my shoulder went. And I don't know how, but they gave me a choice of an operation, and I just didn't see it. I knew that I could do a lot of things. That was the thing that I had the most fun doing.
Yeah.
I knew I had a lot to do from there.
Yeah. Are you still a baseball fan?
Oh, yeah. I'm a sports fanatic.
Who's your team? Who's your baseball team?
Well, it's pretty crazy because it always was the Mets, and then I did their party. Then it was the Yankees and the Mets because I did 3 Yankee World Series parties. Yeah. At my bar. And what else was there? I mean, then I moved to New Orleans. So I picked up the Saints and just moved to Florida. And I have no clue, but I'm still sticking with my New York and my Louisiana route.
So. Yeah, well, yeah, Florida's a little tougher. But Tampa Bay's all right. But Miami's tough. I'm a Cardinals fan. I'm originally from the Midwest. So I'm born and bred Cardinals fan.
They never give the guys on the Cardinals enough guys to win.
Nope. The front office won't spend. They give them enough to just kind of be that middle of the pack and everything else, but they don't ever get enough to push them over.
But, no, it kind of seems like if he sells it, he would have made, I don't know, what do you think, $10 billion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little while.
Yeah.
So we don't know what these people are doing.
Nah.
It's too high.
Yeah.
Well, but with Paul, it was interesting because I got to see him think. I got to see him. We would talk to each other. And I always used to say to him, I love the big guys. If the big guys can move, they're going to go over in a second. And he was like, I understand that. He goes, but the true wrestling fans, they know. And I was like, okay. So he loved the pure wrestlers, the guys that could do everything else, you know, the Bret Harts and, you know, just the tacticians, his brother. So it was fascinating to see the things that I never even noticed. And it just kept happening every day. And our conversations I would see would be on television. And then he would give me my lines. And that would be what was coming up for the next 2 weeks, or a pay-per-view, or, you know, a special fight. And yes, I was a hype guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would have probably stuck with it had I made money, because I eventually left for a nightclub. And the TV was kind of brutal. We'd go in after a weekend and we would do Sunday night, Monday night, usually come home on Tuesday. and people are sleeping in the studio. So that just was tough on me, but I love doing the TV. I love doing all that stuff. I learned a lot, and I learned how a storyline brings in the real wrestling fans.
Right. So yeah.
I had to always get a pop. I was very lucky that I was able to do that. But a lot of these guys just couldn't get get a crowd to follow them, or they couldn't talk, so they got eliminated. Those guys are pretty amazing athletes. I mean, I play sports, and these guys take a beating.
Yeah.
So
how did the name Maddie in the House come up?
I wish I knew, but it was kind of like Paul and I were probably just ripping on the way there. And it could have been just the same way that we came up with a couple other things, but it was very interesting because Paul's very up on today's music. He's up on, he keeps advanced. I always look at the baby boom, and that's what I've done with my, with all of my businesses. I've never had a loss. I've had things for the last 30, 40 years. So it was great for me. And the wrestling was a great thing. But to tell you the truth, I'm learning even now much better and appreciating what I was in the middle of. And all the people kind of just were nice to me, probably because of Paul, a lot of it. But they were genuinely nice people. I mean, I liked them all. I didn't get into the politics. Paul didn't help me. Didn't need that. I was 6'2", 290 pounds. I had hair down in my ass. And I wasn't scared of anybody. I was just scared of getting hurt. But, when that comes, it doesn't really matter. These guys are so hyped up on their own adrenaline that they do stuff that people just wouldn't do or can't do. So very impressed with the guys just as much. And the people behind the scenes were fantastic. But I see that stunt a lot of places. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, when you came in, I mean, you were interviewing people, you were plugging the shows and the shirts, you were just doing all kinds of stuff, right? Like we said, I mean, I think hype man's the best way to describe you. Did they tell you, did Paul tell you coming in, hey, I want you to do all this, or was it just, hey, Maddie, do this? It was just kind of
50-50.
Yeah.
50-50, sure. He knew what I can do. He was very positive with me coming on television. Very, very, very positive. As far as the tagline, because I know you're going to ask about it.
Uh-huh, yep.
Had I been, when you're an actor, you create a character. And you find all these things that you want in the character. And I think in ECW, the character was me. That was who I really am. So I don't think I needed all the background. But as I was learning, I pushed it a little too far. And I made sure the crowd loved it, but I had some very funny things happen to me because I didn't know that much about wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. Did that just evolve? Did that just come out of your mouth one time doing something? And you guys were like, hey, I'm doing that.
I think it could have been a version. And I think Paul probably was like, do that line. Do that line. That line was good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we kind of, I remember practicing it, and had I done it now, I'd probably do it different.
Yeah.
It went over every time, and they waited. I think I could have done very well. And who knows, might have traveled with Paul to WWE. And I know some of the guys, and, Sean and those people, I've always kind of got to know all these people because of the nightclub business.
Yeah, and one guy you told me that I heard you really got to know and you got to travel with was Road Warrior Hawk when he was in ECW. How did that come about? How did you and Hawk hook up and travel?
We hit it off probably in the first second. So he goes, hey, Matt, you know what? We're going to be traveling partners. You're going to hang out with me. That's cool. I said, I watched you on television all the time, so... At least, he was like, wow. And everybody else was like, wow. So it was great. And then he used to give me his chains before he got in, on the stage. Uh-huh. And that was a thing that people did see because people look at everything.
Yeah.
And I guess they kind of learn, because I think in wrestling, the fans have to know the storyline to really get a lot of it. And it's like a great comic book or a great book. You got to keep following it to know what's coming in the end. And the storylines, if they're good, can go on for years. So I guess that's what you're watching now.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I've heard a lot about Hawkman and how, you know, if you're friends with him, if you're close with him, he's a good guy. I talked to Kid Cash, and he said that Hawk bummed a dip off of him, and then like a couple of weeks later, brought him a whole case of like Copenhagen to pay him back.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Well, the craziest thing or the most fun thing was when we used to travel, we both say like ridiculous stuff, but I'll never forget Tanaka, who was one of the wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Hawk turns to him and he goes, "You're driving." He goes, "Why do I have to drive? He's the rookie." He goes, "You're driving." He goes, "Okay." He goes, "Matt, I'll get in the back. You get in the front." And it was to Fort Hood. It was a decent ride. And we're starving. So he says, "Have you ever had Whataburger, Matt?" Like, "No, what's Whataburger?" He goes, "Oh, you got to have it. It's great, man. Best burger you ever had." He goes, "Tanaka, pull off the road." He goes, "There is no exit." He goes, "Pull off the road. There's a Whataburger right there. What's the matter? You can't go the wrong way up." I was like, "Okay." So instead of going the wrong way up a one way, he drove up the side of the grass and we were banging around. We wound up in the parking lot and we go in and I'm looking at the menu. Tanaka's looking at the menu. Hawk looks at the menu, goes, "Hell no. I'll take one of those, two of those, six of those, one of those. Matt, what do you want?" "I have two burgers and this." And Tanaka, I think Tanaka was scared at times because Hawk was very, very funny. He liked to play things like, he was a jokester.
Yeah.
And we get back in the car and now we're all happy. And he starts pulling things out. And he goes, "Matt, is that yours?" I was like, "No." He goes, "That's the great thing about Whataburger. You never know what you're going to get." he was very funny. I mean, I understand, I've seen some interviews, but I got the best of everybody. I really believe that. I saw the best in each one of these guys, unless they were just, you know, a knight or a fall guy. And even them, I got around with, you know, as long as they didn't ask me, could I help them? Because yeah. Paul and I were so separate when it came to the wrestling. Whether they knew or not, you know, it doesn't matter. They coming over to me and asking me something would have been bad. So I think a lot of these guys were smart enough to stay away. And the one, and if they asked, I would just say, "Look, get out of here. You can't do that." So
yeah.
Get ahead in this business. You know, it's like, this is a cutthroat business if ever I saw one.
Yeah. Yeah. How many, you were obviously, you're from New York. How many of the shows were you making? Besides the TV stuff and were you coming to all the arena shows?
Actual shows?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm in every arena show up until like 93, 90. I don't really know. I think it was like two and a half years, something like that. But yeah, I mean, ECW arena was, you have to know the area and to pick the building, the right building in the middle of craziness. Nobody believed it. And yeah. Paul, again, was just 100%. I really believe that no matter how smart Paul was, and I'm still Paul's friend to this day, and he's done some wonderful things for me, kids, and other things. I believe that I got a unique work, you know, a unique vision into a world I didn't know anything about. And I came out almost wanting like a sponge. Even though I left, I really wanted to watch these guys. So I went from not watching to watching all the time to seeing what was happening. I had a lot of friends that were doing things like the music. So Paul was very up on the new music. I was up on different music, some of the same music. And then he hired a friend named Harry Slash,
yep,
who has a lot of credits on the music, maybe even Steven, who worked with me for 20 years. So it was, you know, it was a lot of friends here, everybody helping each other. It was, I really think that's what it was. It was people helping each other.
Yeah.
To get an equal goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I had Harry on the show. He's a great guy. And one thing I talked to him about, and you brought up, and It was pretty incredible how Paul had his finger on the music. It was wild. I mean, he was using music just one step ahead of when it was ready to break, it seemed like. And
that's the nightclub business.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. And how did, were you involved in that at all? Helping say, hey, man, this right here is going to be something. How much of that did you talk to him about?
I think when Paul and I were trying to get my walkout song, again, I mean, we did so much collaboration, even though, you know, Paul probably has to think so also, because even the name Extreme came up. It was Eastern Championship Wrestling, and everywhere I went was the word Extreme. You know, I went to a bodybuilding store, Extreme, Extreme, Extreme. You saw something on television, Extreme. It was the tagline of the century. So I was looking at it, and I was like, I just saw a guy jump three stories onto a table to become a champion. I said, boy, these guys must want to know it bad. I said, Paul, it's Extreme. That's the only word that fits what you guys are doing. And I guess he liked it, and it went to Extreme Championship Wrestling.
So, yeah, and that was wild because that time, like you said, everything was extreme, right? There was extreme everything out there.
The crowd was extreme.
Yeah. And man, it's like ECW fit so perfectly into the 90s. It was just like they were pulling all this pop culture and all this 90s stuff into wrestling. And I mean, man, they kind of, you know, I mean, hell, WWF and everything else kind of, it changed their course, right? Because they were copying the Attitude Era was just ECW and WWE.
And yes, absolutely. And I watched WCW on its way out. I was there. I was in wrestling at a very important stage. So what would happen is, you know, Kevin Sullivan and all the people over WCW had just moved up. Something had happened. So a lot of guys moved out. And I started meeting them as well. And then they started integrating them in the shows. And I kind of knew who I thought was going to get picked. I didn't have to be right. You know, I just have a conversation and I'd say, this guy. He'd say, no, I think this guy. I'd be like, well, I like this, you know. So I'll tell you one thing. We never argued where our voices got raised. And I'm talking now, it's 20, 30 years. We've never had a conversation for an argument in 20, 30 years. But I am a little, I got cut out of that ECW video series, which didn't make me happy because people were like, where are you? Did you really do that? I was like, oh boy, I'm going to be dealing with this for a while. But that was my one thing that pissed me off. Other than that, it really didn't matter. It was a learning experience. It was great. I got to be in front of people. I got to meet wonderful people. I got to learn, you know, the holds and how these guys were doing things. And when Sabu came over.
Oh, yeah.
Everything ramped up again because that guy could turn a show on its ear.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I knew stories. See, because I was in the car with Paul so much, I knew when Sabu was coming, I took a look at him. I saw the keloid stuff online and he got in there. But when you see it live, there's nothing like live.
Yeah.
He was something else.
Yeah, and you mentioned the locker room, and you hear that's what you hear almost most about ECW is, man, how that locker room was so family, you know, it was like a family, and everybody, everybody pitching in, and, you know, Taz helping with the shirts, and Dreamer helping with, you know, spot shows, and, you know, Bubba Ray Dudley helping with merchandise, and all these people, you know, pitching in for the company, and, you know, and it was
every day.
This Island of Misfit Toys, right? These guys that maybe they couldn't catch anywhere else, but they were coming here and getting a chance. You kind of spoke of it. I'm assuming from what you're saying, man, you saw that all the time in that locker room.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to remember something. Since it was Extreme and WWF then or E then, what they were doing, they were trying to appeal to the kids and their parents. And they thought they were going to get, you know, twice the money probably. They forgot the fans. They forgot the people who got them there that watch this thing, that know the stories. So, yes. Do the kids know it? Absolutely. Did I watch it? You watch it as a kid? Probably. Mm-hmm. But Paul and I saw that it was getting weak. But, you know, when he told me, I used to watch for it. And definitely Paul just walked right in. He knew he was going to make it. And there was no fault. I do the same thing. I never quit on something because I know I spent enough time knowing what I was doing was better than anybody else. And that's why I didn't fail. I'm sure that's why he didn't fail.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, leaving ECW. It was kind of, you know, you had to take something that, you know, paid a little more, was a little better. But I have to feel like, man, it was kind of bittersweet. It's kind of like leaving your family, something you're so entwined in or intertwined in. How rough was that having to make that choice to kind of leave?
I left at the right time, and I didn't make a little money. I made a lot of money.
Okay, well, that's it.
That money I got, and I put into my own club, which I built into two, and a restaurant, and something else. So it was definitely the right time for me to leave. And looking back on it, it's still absolutely the best decision I made in my life. But I got what I didn't have in sports, you know, since, I don't know, 10 years earlier. And when you get up on the stage, it's good. You know, the adrenaline goes. That's what these guys are looking for. They want to be known. They want to be, this is the one way where they don't have to be just somebody walking down the street or in the gym. That's the guy that's in the wrestling show. That's the guy that's in ECW. And ECW fans were amazing. So they used to wait outside for hours. That it's these things that I just put together that I was very, I'd learned it all. If I needed it, I would have had it. And yes, I did the same thing with Music Paul then in a different kind of thing. But we both were up on our music. I was with DJs, which gave me a big lift since I was with Jelly Bean, who produced Madonna's first two albums.
Yeah.
I saw her and him, and, you know, I've been around greatness and uniqueness my entire life, because the 80s, the 90s, the money was out there. Everybody was trying to be something special. New York was buzzing. Mm-hmm. There was so much energy now Paul moving to ECW, and the other guys that made it to WWE, those guys are the few that made it, and Paul backs it. But we all know that, you know, management is changing, but you need these storylines. Wrestling is not easy, and to put everything together is almost impossible. So I think the family was an absolute positive. Tommy, Taz, I saw them all doing everything, you know, putting mats on, working their asses off, like you said, merchandising. And Paul said, you guys should get t-shirts, you know? And everybody, I walked in there, I was like, oh my God, they don't have a ton of stuff to give away. And you got a crowd here, like 2,000-3,000 people. So the next week, I'm sure that everything was there. As a matter of fact, the first night, I don't know if they had merch, but I believe they didn't.
Yeah, and speaking of merch, so you did, I mean, you had a little bit of a hand in that, right? You designed a few event shirts and things. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, it's my favorite shirt of all ECW shirts. And not only because it was for me, Paul said, we need something for holiday hell. Mm-hmm. We're going to call it. And I said, okay. He said, so, and I did invites weekly. So I was designing something every week, twice a week. So for me, it was not a hard thing to do. I do people's logos. So, I mean, one thing led to another. And I just think, I think knowledge breeds a unique kind of passion that leads to, let's say, the locker room. And everybody has to get in there if they want to be part of it. And they all knew it. It wasn't even a question. I'm sorry I didn't answer the ECW t-shirt question. It was Holiday Hell, and I was watching Ice-T and Body Count, which is a rock band. And if you haven't heard them, mm-hmm. you should definitely listen to them.
Yeah, it's Ice-T's band, right?
It's Ice-T's rock band. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I worked at the Limelight, so I was seeing Guns N' Roses, Nirvana, and all these great bands. And that was a side job. I just did it because I was working with a lot of people, a lot of women, and it was easy for me to, you know, take them there, and it added a lot of mystique to the place. So November to remember, and I remember all these things that were being fed to me, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, body count, that would be great, you know, as a line, as a chalk outline for a body. And it says Eastern Championship Wrestling. I sent you the picture, and I've been offered $500, $750 for that t-shirt. And it's the only t-shirt I have out of the things that I did there. So my wife said, nope, you're not getting rid of that one.
Yeah. I imagine, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to get let go of, no matter what the money is. Yeah.
But it's interesting when you have somebody with you that is 100% for you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was always a memorabilia guy. I've got a lot of memorabilia, but it took a lot to say, no, turn down 500, turn down 750, or it's only a t-shirt. That's not what happened. What happened was she said, no, that's your history. That's just another thing that you did and you're keeping it. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
She understood, and Paul always loved my girl.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, did you make a one-off appearance in like 2000 on TV for ECW?
I would love to say, yeah, but no.
No. Okay. I thought I read that, but it's like, I don't remember that. And when I watched and everything, but, I read it somewhere online. I was like, I don't know about that. So I thought I would ask you, because like I said, I don't remember seeing it.
You sure it was about wrestling?
What I read said, it said you made a one-off appearance in 2000 at ECW on TV. And I'm like, man, I don't remember that happening at all. And I don't know what it was.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it's who knows? Come on. can't be right, but I'll take it.
Yeah. You know,
I like myself on TV. I like myself. Yeah. I love the tagline. It's too bad I didn't get it to more people because I had to leave.
Yeah. But
it was such a learning experience, and I learned more and more, and I understand storylines, and I pick them up really fast. And it's unique to know a bunch of guys plus a guy that's running the show. You pick up so much, and that is why the locker room was so together. I mean, you're right. Taz, Tommy Dreamer, fucking Hack was hysterical. You had all these personalities that were willing to give because they knew this was the shot. And that's why the shows were so big, is because this was their shot, and they were just going to ride Paul as far as they could.
Yeah. Do you have any involvement in wrestling anymore? Do you ever get approached? People ask you to do conventions or anything? Or
I pitched something. I don't think he liked it. But, you know, I do things to Paul and he thinks I'm out of my mind. I'll do things like out of left field. But, you know, he needs that. He needs just something because he's always working. So, you know, I just do funny things. I send funny shit to him. And the last thing he said, I told you, was I think I'm on top of the world, but he's playing his character huge. And, you know, you can ask me anything you want. And if you don't want to talk about Paul, that's fine. It was just, he was my entrance. He was my exit. And I got to be in a position that nobody has ever been and probably will never be again. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every minute, whether I was in pain or not, whether I was sleeping on the floor or not. In the end, I look back and I can just say it was a learning experience. I had a ball, on to the next.
Yeah.
And then I pitched Paul something really funny. I said, you know, Roman Reigns and I, we have the same kind of last name. Not only that, but I could be his father. And I could come out and we could play that really good. Didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I mean, the both of us kind of got something that we could. I just throw some hair on or whatever it is.
And yeah. I mean, you got to take a shot.
You're absolutely right. Throwing up shit against the wall, thumb's got to stick.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, so you say you're still in contact with Paul. Is there anybody else that you still stay in contact with ever?
No, or talk I really, to? I really wish I did. It was, I think when I left, I walked into running a nightclub and promoting a nightclub, which is beyond anything of anybody that does it now or just didn't do it a lot before. Everybody usually has a night in a nightclub. When you do seven nights and you do another night that's supposed to be even bigger, you know, it's focus. It's I used to pick all the bands. So the music I definitely knew that was coming up, and I definitely stay alert to everything I could in a certain genre. Paul liked rap. You know, Paul liked everything. So I liked some rap, but I don't think it took, you know, it was old school, and I come from Queens and they came from Hollis, Queens. So, you know, I might even heard their stuff before it got out. But yeah, I would definitely say that he's on top of his music. And I am too. But I guess that's why we probably had so many things in common. I mean, you've never seen Paul relax. I have. I mean, right there, that's a big deal. And yeah, ECW was a family.
Yeah.
So, you know, and like I said, I didn't get picked on. I made things better, I think.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You got a unique perspective because like when I talked to Harry, you talked about Harry Slash. He knew Paul Heyman before, didn't even know he was involved in wrestling, right? Knew him differently. And so did you, right?
Harry guy. Oh, I knew Harry a long time before that because I'm, you know, my nightclubs were based on music.
Yeah.
And we had celebrities out the hooch. So, yeah. I mean, you know, like Paul Stanley without his makeup and,
yeah,
you know, Bruce Willis and, you know, we had everybody. So it was so unique. So I didn't have time to think for 3 years. I couldn't say, oh, this. But when I stopped doing it, which was probably about 20 years later, I was, that's why I think I said the Roman Reigns thing. I just wanted to get it out. Just wanted to pitch something.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's gotta be wild. Cause it's like, yeah, here's this guy that, I mean, to you, you knew mostly from, you know, at first from the clubs and stuff like that. And then you got to know him through the wrestling and, you know, work with him there. You turn on the TV and see him, and it's a different perspective than most people have.
I'm used to Paul with what he does on screen. I'm used to basically everything you see with Paul now, because he's got this huge win streak and everything that's going on. You know, I'm sure the people, you know, as long as he stays walking that line, the people are just going to keep coming. And Paul, mm-hmm. you know, takes care of him. I mean, I think that part of it is not a joke. He probably does look out for him a lot. I'm sure that Roman has learned a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Paul has also. But, you know, I tried to get in the locker room one night, couldn't do it. And I try to see Paul when he comes to whatever town I'm in. And he's done some really nice things. They came with 10 kids and they gave us more than a section and gave that the kids shirts and gave me something very nice. So, you know, our reputation and I would say we respect each other, which in Paul's world is unique.
Yeah.
There's not respect unless you're a wrestler that does something uniquely, you know, that's respect. If you don't do something bad or talk about their family, that's respect. You can't do the things that you know you can't do, or it's going to lead to a bad ending. And it didn't happen in the locker room, really.
Yeah.
You see it happening all the time in the locker room.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me one thing you always hear about Paul. Is that even when you know him, even when you're friends, you got to watch for when he's trying to work you or not. You got close to Paul. Is that true? Is it sometimes, man, he still tries to work his friends a little bit and he brings out the Paulie dangerously side of him.
I don't think he needs that much from anybody. If you're talking about friends, no, he didn't work most of them. You know, he's just very fast. People like him. I knew him in a completely different way. The only way I would have... Now, I was hanging out with him 3-4 times a week, at least. So we were always doing... I was watching him work, and then I would take him out. Maybe he was, you know, getting ideas for music. Maybe he was getting ideas for lights. I walk in the same way. I want to see traffic flow. I want to see all these different things. So it's follow the leader. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's follow the leader in all wrestling, I would think. You know, whoever does the storyline, whoever, you know, keeps the championship belts. It's no joke. I mean, that's where the money is.
Yeah, so right.
If you win, you win. It's yeah. It's not like you win 1 week, you lose the next week, and oh my God, I don't know if I have a job. I mean, that happens. But, you know, when you're rising, they don't just dump you unless you do something stupid or you can't read the crowd. And over again, I learned that the wrestlers should spend more time on the talking end, because you can only go so far if you're a great wrestler. If you're a great wrestler, you'd probably be able to do it. But if you can speak, you're definitely going to get there. So these are just things that these guys, I don't think, knew. And I think when they picked it up, they had to start over again or something like that. But, you know, Tazzle, Tommy, these guys look like they were on TV forever. So, and Hack, again, I mean, he was a trip. I know everybody liked him. It was funny as hell. And, you know, I got a lot of background on all this stuff. So,
yeah.
And then I was working with Abdullah the Butcher and I think Superfly Snuka. And I think somebody comes over and goes, Abdullah, show him that thing with the quarter. And he picks the quarter. He sticks it in his head.
Yeah.
I was like, what's that? He goes, those are all the cuts and bruises that I got in my head. I was like, no, really. He's like, man, a lot of cuts. A lot of cuts. I walked away from that. From that one time going, oh boy.
And you mentioned Sherry Martero earlier, right? And you told me that she kind of took you under your wing and looked out for you.
Wonderful woman. Loved her to death. She wouldn't let anybody get near me. So even without Paul, Sherry really held a lot of presence in the locker room. Like Nobody back talked her. They definitely told you get your ass whooped. She was no joke. And Lady was wonderful. You know, I think she was working for us, and Kevin might have been working with WCW before they came over. I left right before Van Damme.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was that about? Because I knew he was coming.
Yeah, so, he really came in 95, late 95, really started catching on 96. And then by 97, he's the Rob Van Dam we know.
Right. And to tell you the truth, he probably had to develop there. I mean, he was coming, knew that he did some crazy things, and he was a good wrestler. That is the and he could talk.
Yeah.
And that's the recipe for somebody Paul's going to love.
Yeah. Rob Van Dam, he's wild to watch his progression. He said, because when he first came in, he didn't say anything. Or this little, I don't know what it was, like a part of a karate gi or something, you know, playing off his martial arts background, but very different. And then as he developed, man, when he started talking and you know, with Bill Alfonso and Sabu and let his personality out, man, that's where you really see, everything clicking for Van Damme.
Well, all this stuff, if the guys really want to be, look, baseball, football, all these sports have elevated where whatever they needed to do, they've done it. These kids are starting with teachers and they're pros, how to throw a baseball. Everything's gone wild. Everything costs too much money. It's nice that, you know, kids can go see the local shows as well as the house shows, you know, without breaking the bank. I just think the kids love it. I mean, when I brought these 10 kids, this kid turns around and says to me, Matt, this is the greatest day of my life. I just want to thank you. Yeah. And I was like, I was ready to cry.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid got me dead in my heart. So when they were around again, I was like, give me this kid and his friends. I like that feeling.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But Paul gave us really, really great seats. And this was in New Orleans. I was living in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes I'm sure people ask him for things. He can't do it. Some things are just too damn big. I wanted to go to, let's say, WrestleMania 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Tickets were crazy. And I was like, you know what? The crowds are huge. And It's so hard to get around unless you are. So I got invited to WrestleMania 3 years ago at, you know, in New York, which is my hometown. And I took my girl, and gotta love WrestleMania, man. Everything is trying to top this. And you top this. And, you know, now you have all of these influences and everything else. It's like everybody's for sale. I hate to say it, but everybody's for sale. And I'm not talking about the wrestlers. I'm talking about everybody has their hand out. So whoever's in charge has to be tough. Doesn't have to be an asshole, but has to be tough. And I think that's where Paul rides his best line.
Yeah.
I do. And I just spent, you know, we're talking about him. I spent years with him. I don't think anybody, even the people that are right on his right and his left, I know they don't know it because he wouldn't tell them. And I have not said one thing, you know, not that I know that much because everybody was so nice to me and around me and everything else. But I mean, I had Jake the Snake as a partner. I know I know what craziness is. So I was able to get a little bit of everything, and walking away was great. The tagline went over big. So I was living a good life, and I knew the head, and these people were getting along with me. And that's, I'm sure, what the locker room was, because there weren't a lot of fights in the locker room. And that was bizarre, because there's always something there, you know. Yeah. Somebody that's old and has a name, and a kid comes up to him and says, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. That's, you're going to get a beating. You're going to get a beating.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew the rules, so I would see this stuff come out, and they weren't fucking around.
Yeah.
And Hawk was hysterical. I mean, he just told me stories and stories. And, you know, seeing people actually scared of somebody that's a wrestler and they're a wrestler, it's really interesting, because these guys really aren't scared of much. But I think Hawk was a little intimidating to some people.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, man, it's wild. I appreciate you coming on, because it's like so many people look back and, you know, they look at some of those early years of ECW and they're like, oh, yeah, I remember Matty in the House. Whatever happened to him? And, you know, and it's like, you know, you hear that all the time. Wait, whatever happened to Matty in the House? And you shaped so much of that. I mean, that's when they were formulating the direction for ECW and where it was going. And, you know, what you were doing, it played into it, right? Like I said, ECW was so 90s, fit in so well. And you know, you played a big hand in that, just that hype and that energy you brought. I mean, that was it. That was the thing at that time. And it, you know, I mean, it helped. They brought other guys after you to try to do the same thing. And it wasn't
the same.
I really
appreciate that, Dave. Yeah. You know what? Even I know I'm a unique individual. That's why all these people are friends with me. And I know a lot of them before they became famous. So since I was in the club world, since I was a kid, you know, I mean, a lot of these guys were doing their auditions during the day and doing everything at night. And ECW, everybody had a job, you know, and then they would come to the arena and they would fight and then they would go back to wherever they had to go back to. It's not like these guys were living the life.
Yeah.
To have a locker room like that and people just trying to help other people, and they're doing crazy things. So the whole locker room would get around the television to see certain things that were, you know, in play. So they were rooting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yes, I believe that I stayed. I think the character would have had a blast because it really didn't have an evolution. It came, it exploded, and it had to, like Paul said to me once, he said, look, the show's not going great. You got to get them up for the last match, because if we don't do that, this is not going to be a good pay-per-view. And he goes, you can say anything you want. And he let me off the leash, because in all the years I was on television, I never cursed. And then when I left, I started to be like, couldn't stop cursing, because I helped myself not cursing for so long. It just started coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of, I haven't kind of corrected that until about 2 hours ago.
That's all right. You didn't have to do that for me. You could have let loose here. I don't care.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate that the people have been so cool. Like if I had my hair, I'm sure I'd get noticed like every 5 seconds. I mean, the hair is just undeniable. That helped because, and I rode a motorcycle. So whatever you know, there's one video that I like that is up where we are in Hogs and Heifers, which was a big biker bar in New York City and doing great. And my friend was running it and we needed some spots. And I don't remember what the whole thing was about, but we're sitting there. And this guy comes over and he's like, can't you use me? Can't you use me? I need to be in this. And he's got like one leg and he's in a wheelchair. So I'm like, okay. And I was like, Paul, can we do something with this guy? Like, he really, like that was the ability that I had that nobody else had. I could walk over to Paul and say, do you think this is good? Or I really like this guy. You might want to whatever. And he was on them most of the time, but this time it was just a freak bar accident. We were supposed to light the bar on fire. So we were going definitely for something crazy. And all of a sudden on the video, I get pushed off the stairs and this guy comes out with his wheelchair without his leg. And one of the wrestlers has his leg and they were beating on him. And I walk across the street and the guy's like, I said, look, you can't do that. You got to stop. What are you doing? And he goes, why? I go, you can't do that stuff. It's totally against what we are. And he goes, Matt, for you, I'll give him his leg back. And it was spontaneous, but it felt real.
Yeah.
The guy, I swear, if he could have stuck that leg on and ran around the bar, he would have done it. He was so amped up. That's the thing that when you're in the public, you get to do. You get to make people happy. You if you're a bad guy, you get to treat them like shit.
Yeah.
And they love that too. But, you know, that's a better world than the world we're living right now, you know? And it's a great way to bring up kids in the weirdest of ways, because when you're not in a major market, let's say, these kids still get to play outside and beat each other up. You're not going to do that in Manhattan or those places. But I think that ECW started an escalation of getting the crowd back, getting them to hear their voice, because I think that was big. I think you got to listen to the fans, because that's going to tell you what's happening that you don't see.
Yeah.
So, you know, if things happen, it could have, like Paul said to me, say whatever you want. I was like, okay. I walked out there. And I'm looking around and I go, okay, does anybody want to see blood? Like getting a rumbling, you know, they're getting all like hungry and thirsty. And then I go, do you want to see a maiming? And now they're out of control. They know something crazy is going to happen. And I go, do you want to see a death? And the crowd started crazy throwing stuff. It was bananas. And I come and I walk into the locker room and Paul says, what the fuck did you just do? I said, you took the leash off, buddy. I get it up. I got it up. He says, but you can't say you're going to kill somebody, because then we got to kill somebody. I was like, okay, I appreciate you letting me off the leash, because that felt real good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, I appreciate your time. And I think, like I said, you were such an important part of those early years. And I think it worked so much because, man, I mean, you know, Maddie in the House was just you, right? It was just you turning it up and doing your thing. And, you know, it seems to me from talking to you and everything, man, it's, you weren't really playing a character, man. You were just letting yourself go and being
Matt. I followed instructions. I never went against that. So I also was a company man. You're 100% right. It was a great experience, and I really felt the crowd with me every single time I went out there. I the boos, if there were, I didn't hear them. Yeah. So same thing like in baseball, I was playing to 5,000 people, didn't hear them. So Yeah, I mean, it stays with me now. So, and like I told you, the only thing, there were very little things, and they really don't even have to be talked about. But that unique friendship and watching what he did was something that I really don't believe people are going to get to see, definitely, except for the wrestlers in ECW. I knew if I watched the show, I knew basically what was going on. I knew Harry was down there. And, you know, Harry was telling me some stuff, but I didn't realize how much they went to, like, an album and stuff. But I knew that's where it was going to go anyway, because look at the pay-per-views now. You don't really have to put craziness together. It's got to be a thought. It's got to be something you can plant in somebody's mind that they want to do. Like subliminal advertising that they outlaw. I'm sure everybody's doing that again. But I appreciate you. Yeah. I appreciate fans. And I appreciate Paul, because it's the only reason I was treated different. And we still are friends. And I think that's unique in itself, because
it is.
Yeah, he runs around so much. That I just left him alone. I think that was a big deal also. You know, I didn't go over to him during the show. I didn't do any of the stupid things. I waited till most of the time things came to me. And the I'm sorry, I think was a combination of the two of us. And then he goes, I like that, I like that. We're going to stick with that. So I, you know, he's, and also he's got a memory that is crazy. Like, he can tell you what happened at any show that not only he was at, but the big shows that had happened in his past.
Yes.
You, like Mary Lou Henna, she never forgets anything. That's why she's such a great actor. She's got that memory that she looks at it once. I think he's got to have that kind of thing, because he's moving from thing to thing. I do the same thing in my business. And as long as you finish well, you're fine. Even if you do 10 things at the same time, but you got to close all those things by the end of the night. And I make sure that I finish with my work before I leave. And I know that he definitely does too. It sounds like a kudos to Paul, but it is. And every single show, podcast, whatever it is, they can bitch at him. They can say, yeah, it wasn't the right thing to do with business, but I'm sure they all did it. And they all make mistakes. If you watch any of these shows or interviews, you know, everybody kind of is mad at somebody. Well, he was in charge and he had respect from the wrestlers. Vince has more than respect. So,
yeah.
And believe it or not, Paul told me about guys in other regions and they all went to WWE now. Everybody's there. Mm-hmm. He even saw that ahead, where he was going to go with them and how things are going to work out. So, and Vince McMahon, even he said, is a genius. So, you know, you have two people like that. I'm sure there's somebody else, but I don't know who that would be. But yeah, I enjoyed it and I hated it at the same time, but I won't tell you why. But it was a hard job, but not money, for no money, basically.
Right.
And
yeah.
I didn't care whether I got famous. That was the big deal, was I was more happy to spend time with Paul than getting famous in wrestling, because I didn't realize where it was going. But it wouldn't have mattered. I did better on my own. But, you know, I've been in a few movies. I really got to work a lot with ECW. I was on every week. And you're right, every show, every pay-per-view, anything that came up, somebody coming in, and yeah, and hype at the arena and hype the shows. Well, and I call myself a hype guy, a hype man. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, well, man, I appreciate your time. Like I said, we'll have to have you back, because I feel like we could just talk for hours and hear more stories. So we'll have to have you back on in the future, Matty. And do a second part.
Absolutely. And Dave, you've been wonderful to work with. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing this at the end of the year with no time left. Yeah. So I give you kudos too, buddy. You know,
yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But no, it's an honor to talk to you and have you on.
Support This Is Extreme and buy the This Is Extreme shirt. Show the world that you are part of the revolution and that you support our podcast and the history of ECW. Go to tinyurl.com/ECW pod shirt and buy yours today.
All right. Welcome back to This Is Extreme. I am Dave Dynasty, your host. Thank you again for joining us for another episode. Once again, follow us on social media. The podcast is on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Again, no access to the X or Twitter, whatever it is. So if that was your primary means, follow us on one of those other platforms, or you can follow me personally on X at The Dave Dynasty, and then you can still get all that ECW content on my Dave Dynasty account. Now, buy one of the shirts that I spoke of earlier. Make sure you help us out by sharing the podcast, telling people about it that like ECW, say, hey, you ought to check this guy out. He's got a pretty cool thing going. Hopefully you enjoy it enough that you will do that for us. You know, share the posts on social media. Help us spread the word. Help us network. That's the best way that we can grow. If you follow us or subscribe to us on a podcast platform where you can give us a rating or a review, please do that because it helps us in those algorithms. When other people are listening to wrestling podcasts and different things, we come up as a suggested listen for them. So that helps us tremendously. But again, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another great episode. We'll have another spectacular guest on from the history of ECW. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep it extreme.